Okay, I think we're about ready. Let's call our next case 20-4026 Peterson versus Raymond Corporation. Mr. Warhauer, you may proceed.
May it please the court. My name is Michael Warshauer. I represent the appellants, plaintiffs below. Before I forget, if I have any time left over, I'd like to reserve it for rebuttal. If the district court had used the correct Daubert analysis in its consideration of expert Tom Berry's testimony, it would have allowed all of his opinions and denied summary judgment. Indeed, in recent years, Mr. Berry has had every one of his opinions about the need to have doors, included the standard equipment on stand-up forklifts admitted in state and federal courts. The district court noted, and I quote, "The man has clearly made himself an expert in this area of law." So given the quality of his report and his testimony at the Daubert hearing, one must wonder, why did the district court exclude Tom Berry in this case? The answer is, as the district court tells us, and I quote, "At bottom, I think the case ends up turning on a legal question, and in my judgment, a narrow and simple one," close quote. That legal question is whether or not a plaintiff's design expert in a Utah product liability case has to choose one and only one alternative design for his opinion to be sufficiently reliable to be admissible.
Counsel, I hate to break your train of thought, but if it was that simple, why did it take, 30 months to get a ruling out of the district court in regards to this matter?
With all due respect to the district court, in the first three pages of the district court's oral opinion, he says over and over, it mismanaged this file. And that is evidenced by this finding that I'm going to talk a little more about now.
Thank you, Counsel.
The district court answered this question by erroneously deciding that the plaintiff had to choose one and only one alternative design. This error merged the concept of what the plaintiff must prove with the determination of the admission of the expert's opinions governed by Rule 702. This error resulted in the district court finding that expert Berry's opinions were unreliable because, in its view, they were uncertain.
Did the expert actually submit multiple designs that it proffered to the district court?
Your Honor, it did. Really, there's one design, a door. He right. submitted multiple iterations of how the need for a door could be satisfied. I noted that Judge Carson in the first argument this morning had referred to photographs in the briefs. If the court would look at both our original brief and our reply brief, you will see actual photos of doors that are in use in the real world that were discussed by Mr. Berry as satisfying the need for a reasonable alternative design.
All you had to do is show a door and we're done with Daubert?
No, sir, not at all. But he did more than that. He showed the door. He showed how the door would fit. He showed how doors in general have been used successfully in the real world, including the Raymond door, which is a spring-loaded door that has not had an accident involving this particular crush injury. So it successfully worked in the real world. He talked about how doors on substantially similar side stance stand-up forklifts had also had success for other users in like warehouses. And we quote all of this in our reply brief in a succinct fashion where we show his testimony in the Daubert hearing. But more importantly, Judge Simcovich, he does talk about each of the doors. He talks about how they're used, the history of their successful use.
Well, now, did he ever put a door on a Raymond forklift? And
he shows a picture of himself.
It's going to work correctly.
Raymond actually makes a door, and he discussed that door, which is an option, would have satisfied, not his first choice, but it would have satisfied the need for a reasonable alternative design that would have reduced the risk. And he talks about how that door, when used in the marketplace, has successfully protected people from the kind of injury suffered here. But Judge Kim, we lose sight here.
What do we do about that? Raymond has a door option and an open option. Clearly, they foresee different situations where the machine is being used that have different safety considerations. Does the expert have to design a forklift that, you know, has a permanent door, which may make it unsafe in other applications, as I understand the record? Is that a fact question or
that is absolutely a fact question? What Mr. Berry said is that doors are better in the general picture. They make the forklift overall safer. The defendant says doors make the forklift overall less safe. It will be for the jury to decide which is which. Now, but what I'm concerned about, Judge Timkovich, is that we've gone down a rabbit hole that wasn't the rabbit hole the trial judge went down. Instead, the district court, when it decided that we had to choose one door, simply stopped the process of the Daubert analysis. If you don't do the Daubert analysis correctly, that's an error of law that demands reversal. So we know that, and I don't think there's any question, and I can skip this part if the court agrees with me, but it is simply not the law in Utah or any jurisdiction in the United States that requires an alternative design that a plaintiff choose one and only choice. But
counsel, let me ask you that. If we agree with you that is the law, and I'm just speaking for myself, assuming that we might agree with your proposition there, you still could lose this on the basis of the expert Daubert issue, couldn't you?
I could not lose this appeal, because if indeed the law allows multiple doors, multiple options, multiple alternative designs, then what we would find from the record in this case is that the judge didn't apply the law correctly. We know this. Well, first, let me answer the question to tell you why we know it's not the law. We know it's not the law for four reasons. The first reason is Utah product liability law, which was created in the Hahn versus Armco case in 1972, subsequently recognized by this case in the Wankier versus Crown and Allen versus Minster cases, is a body of law that incorporates the restatement. The restatement talks about multiple options being multiple alternative designs. We quote in our briefs an excellent discussion involving toy guns that shoot a dangerous projectile. The alternative design could be a squirt gun or a ping pong ball gun or a soft pellet gun. The second reason we know is that numerous cases around the country that follow the restatement that require an alternative design regularly recognize multiple designs. And again, we have one design with multiple iterations, but some of the cases that are recognized at the United States Court of Appeals level as being compliant have vastly different alternative designs.
So if we give you that, that you can present multiple designs, then that gets us into the abuse of discretion review, doesn't it, on whether the district court's other findings then supported the exclusion of your evidence. I mean, your de novo argument is based on this idea that the district court said you couldn't have multiple designs. You view that as a question of law, right?
That is a question of law.
Okay, so the district court's analysis as to whether your expert can comply with the requirements of Daubert, those are reviewed for an abuse of discretion. You agree with that, don't you?
I would agree that a properly conducted Daubert analysis based on the right rules of law is a abuse of discretion review. However, if the analysis as in the gatekeeping role was conducted under a false assumption that there is a law requiring a certain conduct by the expert that was not indeed required, that is an abuse of discretion as a matter of law.
Well, it looks to me like we have a district judge here in a lengthy 151-page transcript making alternative findings, such as what he says, instead, Berry has identified multiple supposed alternative designs, but is not clearly committed to any of them. And then he says, and in any event, he has not done the requisite analysis and testing required for any proposed alternative design that would render his proffered expert opinion admissible. Then he says, Berry's suggestion of a door falls short, in my judgment, of providing a scientifically reliably engineered design alternative, particularly when considering the complexity of the subject forklift machine Berry opines on. He has not, in my judgment, undertaken the expert engineering work, and he goes on. He makes several, well, five or six statements like this in the transcript. And that suggests more of a traditional Daubert analysis than takes us away from your legal position about the multiple designs.
Judge Carson, there are two responses to that. First, the judge makes very clear when he says things like at Appendix 1918, Berry's failure to actually identify any door as his proposed design leads the court to conclude on that fact alone. When the court says on that fact alone, I think it's fair that we trust the court that on that fact alone, the failure to do what the court thought was required by Utah law, that is the reason he was excluded.
Okay, well, let me joust with you a little bit on that, because then he also says, I find for all those reasons that Berry does not offer a scientifically reliable expert opinion and propose safer alternative design for Raymond Model 4200 forklift. And for those reasons, that opinion is excluded. So, I mean, there's apparent conflict within the opinion. Sometimes he says it has to do with his scientific analysis, and sometimes he says it has to do with the fact that he's not committed to a design.
The overall import, the overall reading that you see over and over and over, when you read things like what you just quoted me, Judge, if you read the two paragraphs before, the frustration continually is his belief that Mr. Berry and the plaintiffs refuse. If you'd been in the hearings, he was angry at me because I insisted that was not the law. That is infused throughout. Additionally, Your Honor, we cannot overlook the fact that he engrafted the concept of the basic rules of fairness into his Daubert analysis. That's simply not in 702. It's not in the Daubert line of cases. But I also would point out that if indeed, Your Honor, he somehow just talked about over and over and over the need to comply with this incorrect Utah law as dicta, then what we would find is that what he did is simply an abuse of discretion. Mr. Berry's Rule 26 report and his Daubert testimony are models of what an expert can do and should do under 702. He provided expertise for himself. He provided proof of the performance of the alternative design in the real world, not hypothetical. Often we will see someone who says, I've got a better design. It's not been used yet, but it's better. He said, I've got a better design. This company has used it. This company, when it uses it, it works to protect people from this exact same kind of injury. That's the science that supported it, and the court ignored it. If we look at the Daubert hearing at 1484, have you designed and tested the doors? And he talks about each and every door, how he designed and tested it. And then if the court had looked, he said, well, you didn't show me the test. It's in the appendix. It would be, as we point out in our brief, it's much like an orthopedic surgeon. He's got a broken bone. Yeah, I saw the x-rays. Well, what x-ray machine was it? Well, I can get that for you. And Mr. Berry has it listed. All of the science he relied on is listed. All of the studies he relied on are listed. His personal tests are described. So if the court indeed had followed the right rules, which it patently did not, it would nevertheless be an abuse of discretion. And it would have admitted his opinions and denied summary judgment. I'll reserve my time. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Let's hear from Raymond, Mr. Lococo.
For forgot to do that. Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning or afternoon here, I guess. May please the court. My name is Frank Lococo, and I represent the appellee defendant, the Raymond Corporation. The issues presented in this appeal are straightforward, and the judgment of the trial court should be affirmed. I had intended to start by discussing this issue that doesn't exist in Chief Judge Shelby's decision, which is that there's this error of law. Appellant proposes that Judge Shelby committed an error of law by holding that Mr. Berry should be precluded from testifying because Mr. Berry offered more than one safer alternative design. The trial court made no such holding. The trial court made no such statement. The trial court made no such error of law. Judge Carson pointed out just some of the places where the problem that Judge Shelby had was not the number of proposed alternative designs. It was the lack of intellectual and engineering rigor put forward regarding those potential, say, quote unquote, safer alternative designs. One other one.
Do you agree that if his opinion was that he couldn't testify because he had multiple designs and wouldn't agree to just one, that was legally erroneous?
I know that calls for a yes or no, Your Honor, and I'm going to say I don't know. And the reason why I say I don't know is because we reject the premise of the statement provided by the appellant here. We don't think that's what happened.
Well, I mean, he said it. I mean, it was really clear in his ruling in a number of places that that's what he said.
No. Well, I think, Your Honor, what he said was that the plaintiff's expert, putative expert, Mr. Berry, didn't do the work for any of these designs. And to get to the jury, he would have to do what's required under Daubert and Kumho Tire for at least one of these designs. He never said you can't testify because you have more than one design.
Counsel, let me.
Yes, Judge.
I just in fairness to you, I read this similar to what Judge Carson is saying. It appeared to me that the trial court clearly says that under Utah law, you can't argue alternate theories. You got to choose one and go forward with that. Now, is that your understanding generally of the law anywhere, that you can't plead alternative theories?
No, Your Honor, that's not my understanding. And I don't believe that's what Judge Shelby was saying. I think Judge Shelby was saying that if you have more than one proposed alternative design, you still have to do the engineering work, design work, testing. That's why, for example, and Judge Shelby discussed this in the cross-examination of Mr. Berry, he admitted during cross-examination that there are steps in the engineering process. And except for the concept, he did not apply those steps, prototyping, field testing, with regard to any of these proposed designs. I do, though, Your Honor, Judge Baldock, want to pick up on a question that you asked Mr. Warshauer early in his argument, and that is, what difference does it make? My long time ago now, but my undergraduate degree is in philosophy. So if you play out the logic, Judge Shelby either made this error or he didn't make the error. If he didn't make the error, then we look at his analysis under abuse of discretion, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. And there's no way anyone could appropriately find that Judge Shelby didn't properly exercise his discretion. He did not abuse his discretion. So the other half of the logic stream, let's say he committed this error of law that he focused too much on. You have to have one design or you can't have more than one design. All that means then is an instruction to, okay, now consider all the other designs, all five or six that Mr. Warshauer wants considered. We end up at the same place. And that gets back to what Judge Carson was reading from the record. Another place at 1919 of the appellate record, volume 8, Judge Shelby says, quote, at best, as Peterson's counsel repeatedly urges, and as testimony of the Daubert hearing revealed, he has, quote, considered, end quote, these alternatives and believes that each would have prevented Peterson's specific injury. But merely stating he has considered various designs and how they might have guarded against Peterson's specific type of collision hazard falls far short of any engineering rigor. Among other things, Barry fails to say how he considers them, fails to identify any scientific or technical analysis he applied to each or any of them, and offers no scientific support for his naked conclusion that each or any of them is safer than the Raymond design. With regard to the, so we end up at the same place. With regard to the issue of the abuse of discretion, Judge Shelby did not. This court's jurisprudence is quite clear that under an abuse of discretion standard related to experts, there has to be something really awful in what the trial court judge did. But if
what tests needed to be performed, really? I mean, we're talking about a door, you know, and there's four or five different kind of doors you could put on a forklift. Raymond itself has a door option for its customers. So there's really no question that the attaching a door to the machine is feasible. And the real question is whether the that particular design would be safer, and why wouldn't that ultimately be a question of fact for the jury here?
Well, because before you can, because under the Daubert analysis, Judge Shelby, the trial judge, has to be the gatekeeper for whether the proposed expert has come up with a
safer design,
a safer alternative design, and it's not just a matter of feasible. And the law doesn't say a feasible alternative design. It says safer. What's in the record is that the door that Raymond makes is a spring-loaded, non-latching door that's intended for very specific environments of use where you have potential hazards from intrusion, pipes, bar stock, plumbing supply house, lumber yard, and it's intended for those very specific environments of use. It is not intended to keep people in. It is intended to keep things out. I believe in the record, we established that very few of those are sold. And so the testing isn't, does it fit on and how does it work?
What's the testing that Mr. Barry should have done?
Well, he should have, this comes right out of the decision as well, he should have first and foremost taken a model 4200 and at least outfitted it with his or many versions, whatever his versions of the design are, put it out in the field to get some feedback from users to see how it is used. What's in the record, Your Honors, is that putting this door on, and this is makes the truck much more dangerous. And we cited cases where other courts of appeal around the country have so found. We cited Hernandez versus Crown. It's a per curiam decision from the 11th Circuit where this issue was raised and discarded. There are other cases where experts have been precluded from testifying. And the fact of the matter is the trial court judge here, who's tasked with reviewing this evidence for admissibility under an abuse of discretion standard, found that the work by Mr. Barry did not meet the requirements of Rule 702 and Daubert. And as I was saying earlier, if you look at Gable versus Denver and Rio Grande Western Railroad Company, which is at 346 F3rd 987, this court says with regard to abuse of discretion, we will not disturb the district court's ruling unless it is arbitrary, capricious, whimsical, or manifestly unreasonable, or when we are convinced that the district court made a clear error of judgment or exceeded the bounds of permissible choice in the circumstances, citing Dodge at 328 F3rd at 1223. So it's a pretty high standard to find that Judge Shelby abused his discretion, particularly here, Your Honors, where Judge Shelby reviewed thousands of pages of briefing and attachments. He held an in-person oral argument. He then held a Daubert hearing with Mr. Barry on the stand, and he allowed Mr. Warshauer and Mr. Berry all the time they needed to present his opinions and methodology. In fact, this is in the briefing, I was not even permitted to offer evidentiary objections to many of the items to which Mr. Berry was referring, which were numerous. Judge Shelby then sought additional extensive post-hearing briefs. He held another lengthy oral argument. He then, as Judge Baldock pointed out, took months to make a decision and provided ultimately an over 2-hour explanation of his analysis and the basis for his decision with detailed references to the record and to the law. He could not have done so without having carefully reviewed the extensive record before him. Your Honors, in the past couple of decades, since Daubert was decided, I've been a part of many Daubert processes, never one this thorough and extensive. Judge Shelby told the parties early on when he took the case over before our first trial date, before any of these motions had been filed, that he saw his job as being a servant to the parties, and that's what he did here. I guess one or all of you might want to disagree with Judge Shelby's ultimate decision, but there's no way he abused his discretion. And as I mentioned earlier, your role here is to determine whether Judge Shelby abused his discretion. He did not. Many of the questions that Mr. Warshauer, many of the comments Mr. Warshauer was getting into, puts you in the role of performing the Daubert analysis that was already performed by Judge Shelby. And that's not the role of the Tenth Circuit or any appellate court in this circumstance. Your Honor, the trial court's judgment should be affirmed. Mr. Peterson's appeal should be dismissed. And unless you have any additional questions, I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take back the time. And if you could give Mr. Warshauer 1 minute, please.
Thank you, Judge. Let me point out a couple of things quickly. In the Hernandez case, the trial judge admitted every single one of the opinions offered by Mr. Berry. So if we're going to use that as guidance, let's use the right ruling, which the trial judge ruling. A gatekeeper is not a fact finder. A gatekeeper is not to weigh the facts or find facts to determine admissibility. The gatekeeper is to follow a process. That process required him to do certain steps. Here he admits the trial court writes he didn't follow the right steps. He started off applying the wrong law, and that blinded him. And he states at 1918, he was loath to engage in this exercise of attempting to evaluate the support for Doors Berry has identified where the court cannot discern that he is committed to any one of them. The fact of the matter is, it just stopped doing the work after it became so frustrated because of an error of law. And that is why we are here today, an error of law that poisoned everything. Thank you for your time.
We appreciate your arguments. Both your time has expired now, and you're excused. We'll submit the case.